You know what? I mean, Wiz played well. We're going to continue to evaluate that week by week. And I'm just glad we got a couple guys right now that are playing well at that position.
Frank, a lot of people say that it takes 3 years, three full seasons to kind of develop a quarterback. And has that process kind of been accelerated with Parson? And if so, could you kind of quantify that a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's always a continuum. You know, generally speaking, you say it takes a few years. There's a continuum, and you go through times that are accelerated positively and negatively. You go through stretches that are good and bad. But overall, when you see the curve going upward, you know there's going to be ups and downs through any season. It's a long season. And so far, Carson's certainly on the accelerated path.
Frank, are you guys premeditated and careful with the number of touches that you'd like the Garrett Blunt to average per game, especially early on in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a range, and that is predetermined in the fact that, as we've said before, that we kind of designate the plays that are going to different guys each week. And each week we sit down and look at that and kind of divide that up. You get a sense of how the game is going to be called as you go on. You adjust as you need to. So I feel pretty good about where we're at in that.
Smallwood said he practiced today. Obviously, you got by these past 2 weeks, but what's the value of having him back on the field?
You know, Wendell obviously brings a lot to the table. He's that thrashing downhill runner. He's got some explosiveness. He's a three-down back. He's good out of the backfield. He's really good in protection. So, yeah, it brings all those things.
Frank, when you take New York,
go ahead.
You can't legislate injuries in this league. Everybody knows that. You see what happens in Green Bay, how quickly things can change. When you see Carson sort of take on a defense like he did by lowering the shoulder, how do you react to something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we knew when Carson came here out of college, you look at his college tape, and he was doing that on a weekly basis. That was part of their game plan in college, that he would run people over. That's not part of the game plan here. And I think when you look at his whole body of work, he's done a really good job with that. We had one little outlier incident that hopefully just remains an outlier. Let's just put it that way. But that's one of the things we love about this guy, man. He's tough, and not just tough doing that kind of thing, but tough standing in the pocket. I think he knows the responsibility he has to the club and the team, but I do think the team responds to his toughness.
The running back picking up blitzes, did some of the issues in the first half have to do with the fact that you guys didn't see some of those blitz package looks, or was some of it also technique?
We had... You know, in the game, there was probably one or two things that were technique related, you know, where their defensive player made a good play and beat our offensive player. We probably had one or two mental errors, which in the course of a game is not uncommon. And then, you know, maybe there was one thing that they did that they hadn't shown beforehand. So we adjusted to as the game went on. I think it makes us hard to defend. You know, I think the analogy that I was using with someone the other day is, if you were using a basketball analogy, you know, we don't have anybody averaging 30 points a game, but we got five guys who can score. And so you don't know who it's going to be week to week who can beat you. And I think right now that's what we're doing well. We have to play to that strength. We certainly got some guys that we want to score a lot of points and that we look to try to feed and get the ball. But I think we're in a good position that we got a lot of confidence in all our players that they can all make that shot, make the winning shot that we need them to make.
When you said earlier that Carson's on an accelerated path, you know, in his second year, how rare is it for someone to be taken like such a big leap that he is at this point in his career? I mean, you've been around a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think it's rare. I mean, I think those players are rare. And, you know, and I think it's rare in Carson's standpoint, and obviously as – confident that I feel like that's no fluke and that there's further to go down that path to go for him and that he's going to make it all the way to the end of that path, as confident as I am of that, you still got to go out and prove it every day. So from the outside world, it certainly is fun and relevant and noteworthy to talk about that path. But from the inside, We just talk about the process, you know, of what it takes to go down that path. And that's what's accelerating his growth, is that he's committed to the process wholeheartedly, that he's committed to his teammates. And maybe I think one of his best attributes is he's not a me guy. He's a team player, and has a lot of mental and physical toughness, and has the smarts, and is committed to that process. So that's just the road we all need to keep going down.
Are you seeing more space underneath for Zach, I guess maybe some of the running backs, with Nelson's ability to take stuff off the top in the middle of the field?
I think there's no doubt we've made some plays down the field. Nelson is a threat. I think you not only see the plays that he's made down the field, but if teams are watching, you can just see his speed on the tape even when he's not making plays down the field. So teams see that combination of things. Same thing with Torrey. There was one play last week with Torrey where Carson happened to be looking the other way, and Torrey was 10 yards behind everybody. And it was one of those things that's kind of a pick 'em look based on leverage. And, you know, we had kind of geared that week that we were going to go towards Alshon on this one play, and Torrey runs right by the corner. And it's not even close. I mean, he's going to walk in. But, you know, by kind of design and by per matchup that week, we wanted to focus on that. So we see that on tape. You know, even as coaches, quarterbacks see that, hey, that receiver just blew by him, even though we didn't throw the ball to him. Corners that are watching our tape are seeing that. Defenders, coaches. So we're going to continue to be aggressive in that vein. And we got to make plays, which we've been doing. But for sure, that opens things up underneath. You know, I think, you know, as we all know, in this business, momentum can change quickly for the good and for the bad. And that's why as coaches and players, all we worry about is what this week and can we get better this week? I mean, there's nothing else that matters. What we talk about is an obsession. We talk about an obsession to get better today. We talk about an obsession to give ourselves to our teammates, to play for each other. And because things can go up and down so quickly, I mean, it's crazy how fast it can go like that. So if you aren't committed to the process, and if you aren't committed to your teammates, and you start worrying about that other stuff, I think that gets in the danger zone. So
the type of offense you were talking about, where everybody could be anyone's day, you have a lot of guys on one-year contracts. Have you had any thoughts during the year or concerns about whether everyone would be really comfortable with that, especially, you know, having one-year contracts? Does it require certain type of unselfishness that you may not know what you had at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's contractual situation, I mean, it's part of the business. We understand there's a business side of this thing. There are time and a place for one-year contracts. We all understand what the dynamics, there's pros and cons to that. But what I have found is that once we get in meetings and on the practice field, those things go away, that you're playing the game, that – And all I see from our guys is a very – go back to that basketball analogy. I just see an unselfish team, you know, who want to score. Everybody wants to shoot the game-winning basket. But if it's their buddy who's getting the game winner that week, as long as we win, I genuinely see that with that team, with this team.
Have you seen that everywhere, or just more so with this team?
I see it a lot with this team. You know, I just speak to this team for right now, and I just see it week in and week out. And, hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, I still – there's times where, you know – I'll walk by and pat a guy in the butt if I know he didn't get as many balls as he was wanting that week, and say, hey, it's a long season. Hang in there. Your game's coming. You're going to catch 10 next week, or you're going to have this many yards next week. You know, just trying to say things that you know are true. And I know they're true because I've seen it happen so many times. That's just the nature of the game. When you have a quarterback who's just looking to run the offense, distribute the ball where it's supposed to go, we're designing things so that the ball is going to get spread out. Yes, we're trying to create certain matchups and hit certain things on big plays, so on and so forth. But this is the way it's designed and supposed to be for right now. Yeah, I mean, I always anticipate the good players are going to, you know, the best players are going to play. You always know what the adjustments are. You have to have your answers. We've talked about this before. There's quote-unquote answer sheets to what they do schematically. There's answer sheets to what you do personnel-wise and how you take advantage of certain things. So, you know, 80% of this, 70% of it, whatever the number is, focus on what we do. We have good players. We have good offense. We have good schemes. Let's get good at running our routes, running our schemes, throwing on time, blocking who we're supposed to block, and then adjust as we go.
Frank, it seems like teams really want to blitz you guys, but it isn't working out very well for you. Why do you think they've chosen that approach? Are you surprised week to week?
No, you're never surprised by the blitz. I mean, I like the blitz. I want teams to blitz us because I'm confident. Now, they're going to get their shots, and they're going to win their battles. Carolina beat us on a couple, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing that gets me more mad than when we get beat on a blitz. I mean, probably nothing, that if we miss a pickup or we miss a layup. I mean, when you got a blitz, to me, there's opportunities for layups, for big plays, and we've missed one or two of those here or there. I know that happens. It happens everywhere I've ever been, but as a coach, when you have an opportunity for that, you just want to capitalize and make them pay for it. So, they're still trying to attack Carson, I suppose. You know, we rotating backs, that's some of it. Try to put pressure on a lot of teams. What they do in the blitz package is to put pressure on running backs. How can you eat up a back? A lot of teams, the reason that they want to blitz you is make your back protect and do some different things schematically so that they have an advantage. They have one more cover defender in back by trying to eat up your back without going crazy about that. So different teams have different ways of doing that.
You guys have established that when you want to go shoot and shoot and run the ball, you can do that. When you want to air it out, you can do that also. How much does that go into each week where you just decide what it is you want to dictate to that team that you want to do?
I feel pretty confident about our balance, and a lot of that starts with running the football, and we do feel like we can go toe-to-toe with anybody running the football, and we're going to be challenged on that this week because this team is good against the run. They've been good against us playing the run, so it's a big challenge. They're well coached, and we have to maintain our aggressiveness in the running game, and there's something about being able to go toe-to-toe in the running game with anybody and feel like you can impose your will that way. And, each week that is definitely part of the plan.
Take two more.
Right. Everybody knows that LeGarrette's tough to break down. But is there anything with his elusiveness that has surprised you at all?
I think he's a big man who has better balance and vision than most people realize. And he has a little bit of, I don't know what the right way to say it is, but he's not afraid to run you over, but he thinks he can make you miss, which is kind of ironic. A lot of big guys, they know they can't make you miss, so they just try to run you over. He's a big man who thinks he can make you miss and or come off the hit, put his hand down, spin, regain his balance. So I think that's a pretty good dynamic.
A few minutes ago, you spoke about batting players on the back and saying your time's going to come. Have you had that conversation with Alshon?
I think I've had that conversation with all of our guys who are active every week at some point, and because I genuinely mean it. And I genuinely believe they're all contributing, including, even including Mac and Marcus and guys like that. And just building together and just always trying to emphasize this. Let's just be unselfish. The best way it works, I promise you, the best way this thing works is if we're all unselfish. And if we're all unselfish and we all do our job, things have a way of working out, and trusting, what we're doing offensively, trusting your teammates, and I give our guys a lot of credit. They genuinely believe that, have bought into that, and that's certainly is a reflection of their character.